Hello, and welcome to another podcast episode of My Dog Will Eat My Face. I'm sure everyone listening to this has been in a moment at least once in their lives where they might look back at the things they've done and even if just fleetingly feel that perhaps they had really chosen inadvertently to miss out on what could have been some genuine and really good opportunities in your life. I often think of the old maxim that it's not the things that you do that you come to regret, but rather the things you don't do. And it just so happens that relatively recently I had that sort of feeling cross my mind completely unexpectedly. And I just today wanted to kind of hash that out a little bit and explain how that thought was just fleeting and gave me an opportunity to actually be grateful that I perhaps missed some other opportunities in my past. So, what I'll have to do is explain what exactly it is that I sort of came to regret. And how, thankfully, I turned it into an entirely fleeting memory. Or fleeting thought, I should say. But I don't know if that's something I could apply to other things I might regret or not. I think only time will tell. But first, allow me please to explain what it is exactly I came to regret to some extent. And perhaps the decisions and options I took many, many years ago. So, as I get started here, I also have to mention I apologize that my voice sort of sounds like I was up crying all night or something. But in reality, I slept last night in one of the coldest nights yet as the winter comes, with my bedroom window wide open and my fan running. So today I woke up sounding like a I don't know, a 40-year smoker with a pretty belabored and crackly voice. So, first off, I apologize for that. And if my voice does eventually just go out on me, I'll have to cut things a little short. And if that happens, I do apologize. Anyway, with that little disclaimer out of the way, I want to talk about how I came to this fleeting thought in the first place. So, I collect many different strange artifacts and items that I've collected over the years and in many continents. And in some cases, I don't know literally how old they are or what their real value is. For example, in this case, when I was 18, I was actually in the People's Republic of China in a village, and there was an old woman just on the side of the street selling various trinkets that she had dug up in her garden. And there was a mix of different old coins, some in better condition than others, some newer than others. And one of the things she happened to have was a bronze statuette of a Chinese cavalry rider carrying a sword. And it looked very old. It was clearly bronze, and it was very well into getting the old bronze. There were parts of it that were turning green. And it looked like it was actually part of something else, like a larger structure. Because at the very bottom of it, there was a square hole. It seemed like you would post it on like some sort of piece of wood. Maybe it was on a building, a decoration or something, I'm not sure. And then when you look inside it, it's kind of hollowed out because of that. And you see the bronze on the inside, and it's very warped. And I don't know what the word is. Kind of bubbly. It looks like it had been in a fire, actually, that did some damage to the inside of it. But on the external side of it, when you look at it, no evidence of damage. It's just on the inside. So I purchased it. It wasn't from a store. It wasn't from any commercial business. It wasn't from the government. It was just literally from an old woman that was selling trinkets and things she dug up in the dirt of her garden. This was in a small town, maybe 2 hours outside of Shanghai. So, it sat in my office for many, many years since. And all this time, I've never known what it's worth, what its story is, how old it is, or anything. I paid a bunch of dollars for it. The old one. But for all I know, I'm sitting on like a 2,000-year-old relic. I have no idea. Or it may very well be just a stupid trinket that was made 50 years ago or 5 years ago or something, and just looks old. It was made to look old. I have no idea. So I've had people tell me, you gotta get that appraised. You gotta get that appraised. I'm like, I don't even know where to go. Where would I go to appraise an old Chinese long statuette dug up in an old women's garden in a town outside of Shanghai? That's pretty specific. It's not like I'm pricing out my, you know, family heirloom of ivory spoon from the 1800s or something stupid. You know, it's just such an obscure area of thought. I just didn't know where I could do that until I found out that there are some websites that allow you to submit pictures and a description of where you got it, of all kinds of items, including possibly ancient artifacts. And you pay them like $20 an hour or something like that. Maybe it's $10 an hour. I don't know. And they will price it out and give you an estimate online. And so I thought, maybe I should do that. You know, I mean, I don't know what this thing is. I don't know where it came from. It might be worth nothing. It might be worth a lot. I feel really stupid if I'm here struggling to pay my energy bill and there's a $1 million nugget eventually, basically sitting on my bookshelves and I just didn't know it. So, pardon me, I've got to take a quick drink of my beverage. See, that's what I mean. My voice is very hoarse and belabored today. So, again, I'm sorry. Anyway, so I decided to take some pictures of it the other day, with a plan to submit them to one of these sites. But the only problem was, I couldn't remember for the life of me the name of the village where I was, where I purchased it. Because that could make, obviously, a big difference in what this is and what it's worth. But I knew that if I were to find my itinerary for when I went to China at the age of 18, I would be able to find, hopefully, the name of the town that I visited, because it was part of a scheduled visit to a traditional old Chinese town. I vaguely recall one of them saying it was the hometown of Confucius. I don't think that's true. I think that was just BS that they're throwing at us, but I don't know. Anyway. So I decided to go looking through some boxes in my storage unit where I put this old stuff. Pieces of paper and just memories of different things, trips I've done. In storage. In a self-storage unit in my apartment building. So I go down there and, aha, I find the folder containing all the stuff from China, including the itinerary. Now, what's important here is what else I found in that little booklet of, I don't know what you call it, I guess souvenirs from China. And when I found a particular document that was in there, I just could not help but laugh because of what it meant. And that suddenly blew away my objective of finding the village name, which I did find. I did find the name of the village, so mission accomplished. But this other document I found is what I'm going to talk about and focus on in today's podcast. So, really briefly, the document that I found was actually a certificate of completion. Because when I actually went to China, gosh, I guess I was 18 at the time, with this particular trip. I was actually part of a, what do you call it? A student exchange trip of some sort, where it was commemorating the 25th anniversary of the Shanghai Communique, which is what was agreed to by Mao Zedong and Richard Nixon when he went to China and normalized relations with China. And it's so funny, by the way, because of Nixon's trip to China and meeting with Mao, Nixon is like just revered in China. Totally different from his own home country. I mean, if you were to ask a Chinese person who their favorite president is, I would bet $100 every single time they'd say Richard Nixon. They just love the man because he recognized Red China, and that's true. It's one of the things he did. He opened relations with China. Before that, the United States refused to recognize Communist China as legitimate. It only did business and trade with the nationalist Chinese, which were now isolated on the island of Taiwan. So there's that little history there. And so I was selected as a group of students to go and help draft a new Shanghai communique in commemoration of the first communique by Nixon and Mao. I was actually a guest of the People's Republic. To enter China, for example, you need a visa. I didn't need one. I didn't get one. I never went through customs. When I got off the plane, PLA or People's Liberation Army soldiers just smiled and held open doors for all of us, you know. We were given the red carpet treatment everywhere we went. But the location of the conference was in Shanghai. And what this piece of paper was basically just a certificate of completion in English and Mandarin. Made out to me, obviously, for doing exemplary work in leadership in the People's Republic of China and improving relations between the United States and China, or say something to that effect. You know, basically, it's just a certificate of completion that I helped contribute to the communique and worked hard and showed dedication and skill and improving relations between our two countries. So, yeah, I mean, I got that. At the time, though, I didn't think much of it. And it's literally sat in this box ever since. The key here, though, is the signatory on the certificate. It is signed by the People's Association of Friendship with Foreign Nations. I'll say it again. The People's Association for Friendship with Foreign Nations. Go ahead and Wikipedia that. What that group is quite interesting. Because only 2 years maybe after I was in China, I was going to school pursuing a degree in military intelligence. Okay? And around that time, I flew out to DC to help out with an open source intelligence conference, or OSINT, hosted by the National Military Intelligence Association, NMIA, and their Potomac chapter. There were a lot of interesting people there. But among them was a man named Nicholas Eftimades. I'm going to say it again. Nicholas Eftimades. Now look him up in Wikipedia. He is... don't worry, I'll tell you what all these groups are and who they are anyway. So don't worry, you don't have to really look it up. But you can look it up to see I'm telling you the truth of who these people are. Anyway, Eftimades is one of the most revered experts on the Chinese intelligence gathering apparatus. He's just a very highly respected expert on what China does and how they do it to spy on foreign countries. So when I met him at the conference, and I had already learned this through my flowering education in military intelligence. That is, I knew who he was. And I met him at the conference, I saw his name tag. I asked him, what can you tell me about the People's Association for Friendship with Foreign Countries? He sort of chuckled and said, what do you want to know? And I said, well, what do they do? Well, I'll try to cut it short here. They are basically a front organization used to spy and leverage foreign countries out of the interests of the People's Republic, and is basically a front for the Ministry of State Security, which conducts human intelligence or human gathering against, among all the other nations of the world, the United States. So basically, what this means is I've got, in this little box in my possession, accolades, a certificate of completion with high praise from a Chinese spy organization working for their Ministry of State Security, which is basically like the Chinese KGB. So I literally have a certificate praising me from a very shady group that's used to target foreigners in other countries and to spy on them. And that's why partially they hosted this. You bet they targeted every single one of us Americans. In fact, when we were shown around the city, they sent someone from their little organization with them. And I even still have their business card. And what they were was essentially a minder to monitor what the Americans were doing, making sure there was no funny business, and to influence them to do things that benefited the PRC. So they're not a friendly. We're not a friendly group. And lo and behold, here in my possession, I have a certificate of completion with great accolades from that organization made out to me in my name. So the irony just made me laugh out loud. But then, it led to something else. And that's really actually the main topic of today's podcast. And you'll see what I mean. So, as the laughter went away for a little bit, realizing what I had in my possession, I did pause for a bit and said to myself, gosh, I really should have taken this certificate in for a job interview in an American intelligence organization. Because as it is, even though I've got the degree in military intelligence, I never did work for any American intelligence organizations. Not directly. I did do some work for an association, but that's it. Of course, if I did work for one, I'd say the same thing. But I mean, this time, in all seriousness, I kind of paused and wondered if I really missed a good opportunity. Because, as it was, life took me in another direction. Eventually. And it brought me into a very successful career that, in many ways, runs parallel to things that the intelligence services do. But I begin to wonder truly if I lost an opportunity, if I made the right choice. And as I sat there pondering for a little bit, my little dog was with me. And he just came up to me and kind of jumped on me, jumped up at me and gave me a little puppy hug and expressed his affection for me. My little dog did that at that moment. And that's when I knew, nope, I made the right decisions. For if I chose anything else, no matter how innocuous, I would not be here today with my dog, who I love and adore so much. Because you see, your choices in life, even the smallest ones, can in time lead to profound changes in your life. I believe it was even Julius Caesar who once said, great events are only born out of small, everyday occurrences. And he's right. Every little choice you make in your whole life could change dramatically the outcome. But when I saw my dog deciding to give me some affection and some puppy love at the time, that's when I absolutely realized, yes, I made all the right decisions. Because if I chose something else with respect to this topic and my profession, or perhaps even something else, something very simple, I may not be with that little dog today, who, frankly, is absolutely the best part of my life. And I think he knows it. He's got me wrapped around his little paw. He's very spoiled. But I really meant it to myself. And as I share it now, I continue to really mean it. I wouldn't have it any other way. I would not have it any other way. So that means that no, I regret nothing. Just as Edith Piaf once said, no, I regret nothing. So, since my voice and my throat is so off today, I'm gonna unfortunately cut today's podcast a little short. But coming to that conclusion was some really good food for thought. While it makes for a really good story of some of the things I've done and some of the more creepy things I've done. Anyway, what it really underscores for me is that if I did something different, I'd miss those things that are precious to me now in my life. I mean, not necessarily, but maybe. Maybe. But it's entirely possible, if not likely. Because Caesar said it himself. The most innocuous events can lead to cataclysmic changes. And therefore, as I thought and was reminded so kindly of those things that I truly adore today in my life, I knew that I made all the right choices. And that is an incredibly liberating feeling, I have to admit. Because, one, I know it's true. And two, I wouldn't want to lose those things that I find precious today. I wouldn't even want to risk it. So I would not change any of those decisions in those years, many years ago. Or even, golly, yesterday afternoon. We all go through things that we regret and we wonder if we should. Could have or should have done things differently. And really, that's a pointless mental exercise because there is nothing stronger in the universe than what happened in the past. Nothing in heaven or hell. Nothing. Can change what has happened. So, to dwell on it is entirely foolish. Most certainly, I hope you learn from it. I hope I learn from it. That's sort of the whole idea. But to get hung up on that worry, on what if I did this? What if I did that differently? Would I be in a better place today? Or even a different place, right? Anything. It is a fool's errand to wonder. Because the past is just not anything you can defeat. It is nothing you can change. Now, there are certainly other things in my past that I do kind of regret. And again, there are things I regret that I didn't do more than anything. But I cannot dwell on those things. It could just, on the first principle, it's pointless. And then now, with this realization just recently, it clicked in me that if I did things differently, I might not have those things, those people that I adore today. And it's not worth losing those. To change a decision I made. Now, if my regret is something like something I did, such as maybe I drove drunk and killed someone, yeah, that's a reasonable regret, but you can't change it. It's done. So the first principle tells you right away, if you don't move on from that, you will be a slave to that decision forever and ever. And maybe you should be. Maybe that's the natural consequence in nature of doing something so horrible. But if you regret less serious things, let's say, it's probably not worth wondering how things could be different if you did things differently. The most you can do is learn from those decisions, forgive yourself, and move on. Truly, the only solution, I think, is you have to regret nothing. So, all that being said, I'm going to close off this week's podcast because I feel like my throat is about to become prolapsed or something. God. It's really bothering me, so I apologize again. But thank you. I mean it. Thank you so much for sitting through this podcast and listening to what I have to say. You could always support the podcast by going to its Spotify homepage, and there's an option to support the podcast there, or you could just go to patreon.com/mydogwilleatmyface and become a patron, and then you get some, I don't know, behind the scenes, I guess, material that other people don't get. But truly, you've already done the most important thing to me, and that is giving me the time to listen to what I have to say. And I truly mean that. Just like I mean it when I say, having no regrets is a very liberating feeling. So, with all that said, I'm just going to have to say ciao for now.